take your Bible this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24 today, and look next to you in either side and make sure that your neighbor has a Bible today, and if they don't, share with them, and let's all make sure that we follow along. We're going to cover several verses from this chapter of the Bible this morning, and as we begin, however, we're going to read only five verses today. And let's stand one more time, allowing everyone to get in and showing also reverence to the Word of God today. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 5 for our scripture reading. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God today. We thank you for the message that it contains. And Lord, we would ask that you would bless the preaching of it today, and that you would touch our hearts and help us to realize that we do not need to seek the living among the dead, but that you have already conquered the grave, and that you have given us the promise of doing the same in your power and through your might. Bless the remaining moments of this service, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Toward the end of the earthly ministry of Jesus, he oftentimes taught his disciples about his coming, death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus Christ would illustrate that truth in many different ways. For example, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, Jesus said, As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Later on, Jesus said, in John chapter 2, as he spoke to the Sadducees and to the Pharisees, he said, Destroy this temple, speaking of his body, and I will raise it up again in 3 days. And so he was illustrating the truth that he had come to this earth to die and that he would also raise up again. In John chapter 10 and verse 17, Jesus said, I will lay down my life and take it up again. And in John chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Time and time again, Jesus taught his disciples that, yes, he would die, but that he would also raise up again on the third day. And yet, in spite of all this advance warning, the best way to describe that first Easter morning was to say that it was very, very confusing. The best word to describe it is the word confusion. In fact, that is summed up in verse number 5 where we read a moment ago when the angel said to the disciples, Why seek ye the living amongst the dead? These disciples were so confused, they were in such disarray that they really did not understand what had taken place. They had really forgotten much of what Jesus had taught them. And so they came in a state of confusion that first Easter morning and did not understand what had taken place. Now, before we're too hard this morning on these disciples, let's remember the truth of it is that all of us have been taught something and turned around maybe the very next day and forgot what we had been taught. All of us have come to a class or been told something about some subject and yet turned right around and forgotten what we were told. I suppose this comes to my mind most vividly when I think about our first child when Danielle was born almost 13 years ago. And Terry and I were two of the most nervous parents that had ever awaited the coming of a little baby. And so we went to every kind of a class possible to learn how to get ready for that. Some of you have been to those classes. Boy, we went into the class to learn all of the techniques about how to get ready. And there were practical pointers like keep a suitcase ready and packed so that when the time comes, you'll be ready, and make sure there's gas in the car. And when you get there, make sure you know how to breathe. And they taught me how to help my wife breathe through all that. You know, hee hee, ha ha, remember that? Man, I practiced. I was the best hee hee and ha ha that there ever was, trying to get ready. And I went to all the classes and trying to learn how I could do a good job at helping my wife. But I'll tell you what, when the day came, I didn't remember any of it. I got so nervous, I got my wife into the car and forgot to bring all the stuff I was supposed to bring. We got into the car and I noticed that the gas light was on, telling me we were out of gas. We drove from San Dimas, California to Fontana, California on fumes. Thank God for miracles. Amen. He got us there. Man, we got there. We got into that room. I was so confused about the hee-hees and the ha-has. I was telling her to hee-hee when she was supposed to ha-ha, and telling her to ha-ha when she was supposed to hee-hee. And finally, she looked at me and said, "Just shut up." And so it was with these disciples. In spite of all of their resurrection classes, Scripture records they forgot what in the world was going on. In fact, the Bible tells us in verse 4 that Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and others who went to the tomb on that first Easter morning, the Bible says, as they were much perplexed thereabout. They went there perplexed and not understanding what was going on. The Bible tells us about Peter in verse number 12. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was to come, which was come to pass. Here we see the ladies going to the tomb and they're perplexed. And we see Peter going to the tomb and he's just walking around wondering at what had happened. He couldn't put it all together. He couldn't understand it. And then the Bible tells us about two other disciples that were on the road to a place called Emmaus. The Bible tells us about them in verse 13. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. Here we see these two disciples had heard that Jesus had been crucified, and they were also very perplexed about what had taken place in the stories of the empty tomb and all of these things. And the Bible records that they're just walking on the road to Emmaus, a little village outside of Jerusalem, a place where hot springs bubbled up from the earth. Maybe they were going to just take a break and try to get everything off their mind. And yet the Bible says as they walked, they were talking about these events. They were wondering about what had happened. And as we take a look at this first Easter morning, and as we notice these disciples on that day, I would draw your attention to several things. First of all, notice with me the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear in verse number 15 that Jesus comes to these men. The Bible says in verse 15, "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them." Jesus loved these men. He had given His life on Calvary's tree. He had conquered the grave on their behalf. But now the Bible says that He sees them, and the Bible says that He comes to them. We see the compassion of Jesus Christ in making Himself known to these men. The Bible tells us that no less than 11 times Jesus appeared after His resurrection to His disciples, and Jesus made Himself known unto them. Jesus showed Himself, according to Acts chapter 1, by many infallible proofs, He made it known that He had literally and bodily resurrected from that grave. And Jesus was compassionate and kind-hearted towards them to come and appear to them. Thank God that we have a Savior this morning that is interested in us and that comes to us, and that through His Word today lets us know that He is with us and that He cares for us. But He not only appeared to them, the Bible tells us in verse number 19 that these men needed further instruction. In fact, notice what it says in verse 19. "And He said unto them, What things? And they said unto Him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people." Here we see in the Word of God that these men who were walking on the road to Emmaus, these men, as it came to the topic of Jesus Christ were men who really and truthfully had not totally understood who Jesus was. They saw Him as a prophet. Perhaps they saw Him as a teacher of the things of God. But they had not yet come to that place in their life where they saw Him as the Son of God or as God come down in the flesh. You know, there are a lot of people like that today. They'll say that Jesus is a prophet or Jesus is a good teacher or Jesus is a good man, but they are hesitant to say that He is the Son of God. And so as Jesus Christ came to these men on the road to Emmaus, He began to understand their shortcoming, their lack of comprehension regarding who Jesus was. And so notice what the Bible says in verse 25. The Bible tells us in chapter 4 and verse number 25, "Then He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself." Hey, I would have liked to have been in that Sunday school class. Jesus opens up the Scriptures to them and He begins to expound to them and He begins to tell them from the Old Testament Scriptures all about the prophecies concerning Himself. He fully expounded these truths unto them. I suppose that Jesus began to share with them the types, and He began to tell them that every blood sacrifice was a showing or a picture of the fact that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, would come. And the Old Testament is replete with accounts concerning the fact that a Messiah would come and die and concerning the fact that He would rise up again. And so Jesus Christ begins to show these truths to these searching disciples. The Bible is very clear that Jesus spent time with them. In fact, the Bible shows us something that is such a blessing to my heart concerning the Lord's compassion on these disciples. The Bible says that as He's walking along with them, in verse number 28, the Bible says, "They drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone farther." And so we see in the Bible that Jesus is walking along. He's walking with these two men. They come to their village. It's about time for them to turn into their dwelling place. And Jesus made as though He would walk along farther. You know the beauty of that? The Bible text tells us that Jesus really didn't want to go farther, but He wanted to know if these men wanted to know more about who He was and if they were truly interested in what He was saying or if they were just religious conversationalists. You know, there are a lot of people today who can talk religion and they can talk politics, but when it comes to believing that Jesus Christ is who He says He is, they don't want to keep on going with this Jesus Christ. And so Jesus made like He would keep going, but He really wanted to be with them and to further teach them concerning the truth of who He really was. And I thank God today that Jesus Christ desires our fellowship as well. Have you ever stopped to think about the fact that Jesus Christ wants to fellowship with you? He wants to know you. He wants you to know Him. And that He made like He was going on, but in His heart, His desire was to be with His disciples. And His desire has not changed. Some 2,000 years later, His desire is to be in your home today. His desire is to be in your heart today. And the Bible tells us that as Jesus went along, they took Him and they brought Him into the house there. And the Bible is very clear that they had a meal together. They ate some fish together. Further proof that this was not some hallucination or some ghost, but this was literally and physically the Son of the living God. And Jesus Christ there, in His compassion towards the disciples, came to them and He spent time with them and He taught them and He walked with them and He was glad to be with them. And my friend, Jesus loves you that way today. He wants to be in your life and to be a part of your home and a part of every conversation. Jesus Christ desires your fellowship today. But notice secondly with me this morning, not only the compassion of the Lord Jesus, but secondly, the conviction of these disciples. The Bible tells us something about them beginning in verse 31. The Bible says, "And their eyes were opened and they knew Him and He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened unto us the Scriptures?" The Bible tells us that as Jesus had now spent time expounding the truths to these people, that their eyes were opened unto Him. The Bible is not speaking of their physical eyes, for no doubt their physical eyes were open. But thank God, the Bible is speaking of their spiritual eyes that were opened unto the truth that Jesus was sharing with them. And their eyes were open. You know, oftentimes people in America can attend church maybe several times, maybe month after month, maybe even year after year, before their eyes are really open to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many, many people today who would call themselves by various denominational names have never had their eyes open concerning the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have never come to that place where they realize exactly who Jesus was and exactly what He did and the fact that He rose up from the grave, not just as an historical fact, but something personal in their heart. And these men had their eyes opened to the truth. Not only were their eyes open, but I love what the Bible tells us here in verse 32. They said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened unto us the Scriptures?" The Bible says that their hearts burned at the teaching of the Scriptures. You see, Jesus Christ had burst forth from the grave, and now their hearts were exploding with the love that they had for Jesus Christ. Their hearts were burning with the desire to know more about Jesus and more about God. Perhaps it is true that our hearts do not burn for the Lord. Perhaps it is true that some in this room who have already been saved, our hearts are not aflame for Jesus because simply we have not been around the Scriptures enough lately. We have not been in the Word of God or in the house of God, and so our flame for God has dimmed somewhat. Our flame for the things of God is dying down somewhat. But oh, these men, as they had the very first Sunday school class recorded in the Word of God with Jesus Christ Himself as the teacher, as Jesus began to teach the Bible, their hearts were aflame with this truth. Their eyes were open to the truth that Jesus died for their sin and rose again, just as He said. Thank God for the fact that their hearts were aflame for the truth of Jesus Christ. Dear Christian, we need to get our Bibles open to the Word, to the truth of God, and our hearts open to the truth of God, and let the flame be rekindled in our lives this morning. A lot of times we like to talk a talk, but we really don't walk the walk. We fail to open up the Word and let that flame be kindled again. Reminds me of a story I heard of a pastor not long ago that went out visiting and went to a family to visit. The dad was in the backyard, the mom and the kids were there in the front family room area. The lady was going to sort of impress the pastor, so she said to her daughter, she said, "Sweetheart, the pastor's here. Go and get that book that I love so dearly." The little girl came back a few minutes later with Sears and Roebuck catalog. Now I'll tell you something. Our hearts need to burn for the Word of God. The only thing that's going to burn with Sears and Roebuck catalog is your wallet. But here were some men that as Jesus visited them that day, and as He began to go back to Moses and from the very beginning of the Bible, and He began to show them all of the types and all of the promises, and He began to explain to them who He was and why He came, and the fact that He was the resurrected Son of God, their eyes were open, their hearts began to burn. And this morning we need some men and some women whose eyes would open up to the Lord and whose hearts would burn for God once again, and that they might know that Jesus Christ is who He said. We see the conviction of the disciples on this day. The Word of God shows us, first of all, the compassion of our Lord to come and to teach. And He's that way for you and for me today, showing us and teaching us and helping us. But not only do we see the compassion of our Lord, we see the conviction of these men, and their hearts were burning. And some of you remember that day, and the flames dwindled down just a bit. You ought to let God's Word fan that flame today and let that Word of God cause you to love Jesus as never before this morning. But not only do we see the conviction of the disciples, but notice thirdly with me this morning, the conversion of these disciples. The Bible tells us about it in verse 33. "And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon.'" Now we see in these men something has happened. Their eyes are open. Their hearts are burning. They've been changed. They're turning around. They've had a change of heart about Jesus Christ. He's no longer that prophet that taught them some things they couldn't understand. Now, He's their personal Savior, and their hearts are burning with the truth that He's arisen from the dead. And the Bible says they've been converted. They've been changed. They go back to Jerusalem, and they say, "The Lord indeed is risen, as He said." You know, you can tell someone who's been saved, can't you? Their lives are changed, their hearts are on fire, and their lives are turned around with excitement for what Jesus has done in their life. The conversion of the disciples. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, "Now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And when you hear the teaching of the Word of God, and it does something in your heart, thank God for the truth of His supernatural Word working in that way. And the evidence of their conversion is very plainly seen. The Bible says, first of all, in verse 34, they went to the 11 and said, "The Lord is risen." They realized that Jesus Christ is Lord of the universe. They realized that He was the Son of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4, "And declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead." One of the things we know because of the resurrection is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so this man and these men, as they made their declaration, they said, "Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's the Son of God." But not only did they see Him as the Lord and the Son of God, but notice the Bible tells us also in verse 34, "The Lord is risen indeed." They were convinced about who He was, but they were also convinced that He was risen indeed. They confessed it openly. Someone who accepts Christ in their heart will also confess it openly. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 for you and for me today, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Men in 1995, ladies in 1995, are saved the same way these men were saved. You hear the Word of God, your heart burns with the truth, you believe Jesus is who He said He was, you believe that He rose up from the dead, and you confess it with your mouth, and the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." April the 5th, 1972, I heard the story of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. I realized as a sinner that I had no hope of saving myself. I put my faith in Jesus Christ that day, and I was saved. Listen to me. The thief that hung on the cross next to Jesus Christ, he had no time to get baptized, no opportunity to go to Sunday school or confirmation, but the Bible says he believed in his heart, he confessed it with his mouth, and Jesus said, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." Aren't you glad this morning that when the Word of God speaks to hearts, that men and women by faith can believe and still be saved in that same old-fashioned way? We see they were convinced of His resurrection. You see, salvation through Jesus Christ offers the forgiveness of sin, and it offers eternal life in heaven. Now that's basic, but it's also Bible. The Bible says it offers, first of all, the forgiveness of our sin. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. "He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification." So, why did Jesus die? He was delivered for our offenses. He was there on the cross shedding His blood for your sin and for my sin, delivered for our offenses. But the Bible says He was raised up again for our justification. And so because of the resurrection, we now have justification for sin. Just as if I'd never sinned. That's the forgiveness of sin. Everyone needs to have the forgiveness of their sin, and only Jesus Christ can offer it. This church cannot offer it. That baptistry cannot offer it. No holy water can offer it. Only Jesus Christ can offer the forgiveness of sin. He was then, according to the Word of God, placed upon the cross for our offenses, but He was raised up again for our justification. Oh, what a great thing to know that you and I can be justified today, totally forgiven for our sin, not from the church, but personally from Jesus Christ. These men understood that. The Bible says in John chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus speaking, He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." You see, Jesus says, "I'll forgive your sin, and though you were dead, I'll cause you to rise again." To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. This week, as with almost every week on the calendar year of this church, one of our pastoral staff will perform a funeral service, but thank God for someone who has put their faith in Christ. It's not a funeral service, it's a home-going service. Because Jesus said if they would believe in Him, they would conquer the grave and spend eternity with Him in heaven forevermore. Jesus Christ offers the forgiveness of sin. Jesus Christ offers for you and for me eternal life. And so these disciples, on their way to Emmaus, stop and have a meeting with Jesus. And Jesus, the greatest soul winner that ever lived, and Jesus, the greatest Sunday school teacher that ever lived, expounded to them the truth concerning Himself. Their hearts began to burn. They were converted. And the Bible tells us the wonderful story of changed lives. They went from crisis to finding themselves having confidence. They went from wandering around to witnessing around. They went from pouting to preaching, and from hurting to helping others. That's what Jesus Christ can do in someone's life. Jesus Christ can change the life of a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl who puts their faith in Him. I believe that even this morning in 1995, there are some lives that Jesus Christ would like to touch. There are some homes of some couples here that Jesus would like to come into. And He'd like to let His Word be open in your home. He'd like His life to be a part of yours and yours a part of His. Perhaps some of you today literally have been seeking the living amongst the dead. You've been looking for the life in sin, and you have found that there is no life in sin. It leads to death. You have been looking for life in dead religion and in places where there's no life. But today, we are not here to point you to religion or to church. We are here to point you to a resurrected Savior who promises the forgiveness of sin and promises the hope and the eternity that you can have in heaven. Today, you can put your total trust in a risen Savior. Peter spoke of Him in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Peter said that we are begotten to a living hope by His resurrection. We have hope because of His resurrection. And that we have an inheritance reserved in heaven. Peter said that we have a home called heaven, and that it is being kept for us by the power of God. I've put my faith in Jesus Christ, and I thank God today that it is His power that keeps me saved. I don't have to keep myself in His good graces, but He loves me and He keeps me. And thank God today that for anyone who trusts in Christ, He'll take you in and He'll keep you as well. U.S. News and World Report tells us in a recent survey that some 95, almost 96% of all Americans believe in God. And yet, a close look at these 95, 96% of all Americans tells us that they're somewhat like the disciples on that first Easter morning, very confused about the important questions. Who is Jesus really? Can I know that I'm going to heaven? Was there really a resurrection? You see, my friend, believing in God this morning is good, but it's not enough. Jesus said on one occasion to the Sadducees and Pharisees, "Even the devils believe and tremble." Why, the devil's the greatest believer in God this morning. Jesus said it's not just believing in some kind of a God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by Me." So Jesus came down as God in the flesh and hung on that cross and shed His blood. And then on that third day rose up again so that you and I could put our faith in a risen Savior. Thank God for a compassionate Savior today who comes to us and teaches us. And then thank God when our hearts are touched and we can be changed because of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Dear friend, don't let it be a historical fact that we look at today, but let it be a personal Savior that comes into your life today and that you may know for all of eternity. Father, we thank You today for the wonderful message. Thank You that today we're not seeking the living amongst the dead, but that we have a risen Savior. And oh Lord, this morning, as You came to those disciples on the Emmaus Road, we sense as though You've come to be with us this morning to teach us from the Scriptures. And God, we pray today that You would just now work in our hearts during these last moments of our service today. Our heads are bowed this morning, our eyes are closed. Want to have just a moment of invitation right now, just a moment of introspection, if you will. And today, as we have looked into the Word of God, may it be a mirror showing back to our hearts. And I wonder today if you would look into your heart as I look into mine. Maybe you're visiting with us. Maybe you've been a member here for some time. But I wonder if you've had that time when you've accepted Jesus Christ, where someone opened up the Bible or someone taught you at church, or and your heart began to burn and you chose Jesus Christ and you invited Him to be your Savior. You called upon Him. Not just a lesson that was in your head only, but something that you totally put your faith in, the finished work of Jesus Christ. Your eyes spiritually were opened, your heart spiritually burned, and you were born again or saved or whatever you call it. But on that day, you put your faith in Christ, and you know that you have been justified, and you know that one day you'll spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that in your mind based upon the Bible. Your sins are forgiven. You have confidence from the Word of God that you will be in heaven with Jesus Christ. If that is your prayer this morning as you look into your heart, I wonder if you'd be kind enough just to slip your hand up this morning as a testimony. Pastor Chappell, here's my hand. Here's my hand. I've made that decision. God bless you. You may put your hands down. I wonder this morning, for those of you who did not put your hand up, first of all, I thank you for your honesty. And I wonder this morning, we're not here to make Baptists out of you. We're not going to ask you to sign up for anything. But we would like to have the privilege of helping you to know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you're on your way to heaven this Easter morning. That's what this death, burial, and resurrection is all about. And oh, our prayer for you today is that you would know our hearts in this matter, that our hope is that we might be able to just be an encouragement to you in this way. I wonder if you're here today and you could not lift your hand and say without a doubt, I know that my sins are forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. I wonder how many people are in this room who would just simply say with heads bowed and eyes closed, Pastor Chappell, I did not raise my hand, but as I listened to you this morning, I felt my heart burning a bit like those disciples. And I felt like the Word of God was speaking to my heart. And I do need my sins to be forgiven, and I know I can't do it myself. I know that no church can do it. And if there's a way to heaven, I'd like to go there. And I feel God speaking to my heart this morning. And I wonder if you'd be kind enough right now, if God is speaking to your heart and you do sense the need for His free gift of salvation and for Jesus Christ, and you'd like to know that you're on your way to heaven, I wonder if you'd just let me in a moment know who you are, that I might pray for you. And no one else is going to look, but I wonder if you right now would just slip your hand up. Just slip it up right now, all right? God bless you, ma'am, and you, sir, and there's six or seven on my left, and two or three here in the middle. May put your hands down. Are there others right now? Pastor Chappell, here's my hand. I sense a need to have my sins forgiven and a home in heaven. I don't know that I have that right now. God bless you. You might be a member of some church. That's fine. That's wonderful. We're not talking about church membership. We're not talking about giving to the March of Dimes or being a good person. We're talking about Jesus Christ is the only way. I see many other hands. Are there other hands of people that, all right, God bless you, ma'am. Are there others today that would say, Pastor Chappell, pray with me about this matter? God bless you, sir, young man. You may put your hand down. One or two others while we wait. This is more than a show today. This is about relationship with Christ. God bless you, ma'am, on my left. God bless you, teenager, on my left as well. Is there someone else? God bless you and you. God bless you, ma'am. I see your hands. I see your hands, sir, on my right. Thank you for your honesty. You may put it down. If you're not sure, you're on your way to heaven. You have absolutely nothing to lose today. Nothing. And everything to gain. God bless you, sir, and you, ma'am. I see these teenagers and this man here. I see your hand. God bless you, sir. Now, if you're here as a Christian, I'm going to ask you just to pray and keep your head bowed. But for those of you who just raised your hand and said, Pastor Chappell, I sense a need for forgiveness of sin and a home in heaven someday, I'm going to ask everyone that raised their hand just then to just look at me for a moment. No one else is going to look at you. Just look right up here at me. And just between me and you, I'd like to talk with you right now for just a few minutes. And I'm going to try to catch your eyes across this auditorium. There are many of you, so be patient with me. In just a moment, we're going to do what we do every single Sunday here at Lancaster Baptist Church. In just a moment, we're all going to stand, and we're going to stand and sing a song of invitation. There will be people coming forward for different reasons. Some will be counselors with their Bible, ladies to talk to ladies, men to talk to men, and so forth. In just a moment, when we stand and this man begins to sing, I'd like to invite you to come up here to the front. I'll be standing here, and a few of the pastors are standing here. Shake one of our hands and just simply say this: I'd like to know how that I can have eternal life like the pastor spoke about. And what we'd like to do is have one of our counselors take the Bible, take just a few minutes in a side counseling room over here, and review with you what we've said this morning. Just take a moment or two. Give you the chance, now that you've had this in your heart, to confess it with your mouth and receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Take you but a moment. But the Bible says whoever calls upon the Lord can be saved. We're not telling you to trust our church. There's no strings attached in that sense. We just want to show you how that you can know for sure you're saved and on your way to heaven, the Bible way. And so when we stand to sing in a moment, our counselors will come, and we invite you to come, and let us take the Bible and show you. It's the greatest decision you could ever make. One man on his way in a little while ago, he said to me, he said, Pastor Chapel, he said, 1 year ago today, I made the greatest decision of my life. And you know what decision that was? To put his faith in Jesus for the justification that he needed and for eternal life in heaven. And we're going to encourage you to do the same today. Let's have our heads bowed. Father, we thank you and praise you for all that we have learned from your word today. And Lord, I really believe there's been some hearts just burning this morning, like those on the road to Emmaus. And so may they come this morning and receive Christ as our prayer. For those who just maybe didn't raise their hand, but they sense a need, may they come. For Christians whose hearts are not burning for you like they should, maybe they need to get back into church or back into the Bible, and they just like to come and pray this morning. Lord, let them feel welcome to do that. Whatever the decision is, Lord, help us to just make it today and be obedient to you is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together this morning.